If somebody would like to come up and give the brief reading of scripture that's there.
Colossians 2:15. And having discerned the powers and authorities, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regards to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day.
So, let's look at our scripture and what it's telling us. And I believe that it's speaking of what was technically known as a Roman triumph. That particular verse about making a public spectacle of defeated foes. So what was a Roman triumph? Well, let me explain. All through the history of the Roman Empire, its legions had to be prepared to do battle. On its northern borders, there were the various tribes of Huns and Goths in the wooded country of Central Europe. To its east, there were nations often skilled in naval warfare and sea warfare, always challenging the authority of Rome. And so to maintain its empire, its legions had to be prepared to fight, and to fight well. Now, if a Roman commander achieved a particularly wonderful victory, then he was granted a Roman triumph. So let me tell you what this was. First of all, Caesar would insist that all the peoples lined the streets down which this victorious triumph is going to take place. So the streets will be crowded with people, often throwing rose petals in front of his chariot, laying down their garments, as they did when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And in a gloriously decorated chariot, decorated with gold and ivory, would be sitting the Roman general, the person whose triumph was being celebrated, very possibly wearing a breastplate of pure gold. Tied to his chariot would be all the enemies that he had defeated and made prisoner to Rome. And so, being dragged along in the dust, in rags, will be perhaps kings, generals, whatever. But now they were just defeated foes. And so they will be tied to his chariot and be walking along behind it. And the crowds, of course, will be catcalling them, you know, reviling them and celebrating the fact that they had been defeated by this triumphant general. And so this was what a Roman triumph was. The victorious general was granted this privilege of showing what a great victory he had won. And of course we have a triumphant leader of our faith, a triumphant all-conquering Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has triumphed over all principalities and powers. And in the picture we're to imagine all the evil powers that seek to oppose us and seek to draw us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the picture we're to imagine them chained to this chariot, being publicly demonstrated as defeated foes. So we need to remember, first of all, then, that the enemy of our souls, Satan the devil, is a defeated foe. He is a defeated foe. He has lost the battle already. Prophetically, Jesus said, recognizing what he was about to do on the cross, that he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. In the cross of Jesus Christ, all the works of the devil were defeated. He was shown to have no authority. He was shown to have no power over us anymore. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And right away, the devil has no more power, no more control over us. He is a defeated foe. How foolish then would it be to give our lives to a defeated foe when we have a victorious, all-conquering Christ who seeks to bring us into the family of God. He has provided everything that we need to share in his triumph. Behind his chariot, the triumphant general would then have a line of chariots, and they would contain the spoils of war. He had defeated enemies, and there will be as many chariots as were needed to carry all the trophies of war, all that he had won. The wealth of the nation, its ensigns and flags, maybe its defeated gods. But basically, as he led this triumph out, he was making a public spectacle of those foes that he had defeated. A public spectacle. And amongst those defeated foes is, of course, our enemy, Satan the devil. But he is still a dangerous enemy. I just want to digress a little from the thought of the triumph. Satan the devil is, although a defeated foe, still a dangerous enemy. He doesn't know how to create. We have a wonderful creator who's made a beautiful, amazing universe, given us this wonderful planet to live upon. Our God is by nature creative. There's no creativity in the devil, none whatsoever. All he knows how to do is destroy and ruin. He seeks, if possible, to destroy and ruin us, to take us from the chariots of the spoils of war and instead join him in rags and tatters tied to the victorious general's chariot. How foolish then would it be to follow a defeated foe? But we need to give him no opportunity. The epistle of Peter speaks of the devil being like a roaring lion seeking to devour someone. And although he's a defeated foe, he still is dangerous if we give him the opportunity. He's like a roaring lion. And here I want to speak of the tremendous value of Christian fellowship, Christian praise, Christian worship, Christian prayer. It is by these things that we oppose the devil, and he will flee from us. But if we give him opportunity, if we open up a door for us, for him, then he certainly knows how to destroy us. That's been what he's been doing, accusing us, trying to destroy our faith in the workings of God all through his career, by permission, of course, of a sovereign God. He tests us, he tries us, he makes our faith pure and dependent upon God by the ways in which he comes to us. But we have to be careful to defend ourselves properly. I was very interested, still am, can't see them as well now, in natural history programs. I've always been interested in natural history. And very often they're about the wildlife of Africa. One of a lion's favourite prey animals is the African buffalo. It's a very substantial beast. They would feed a pride of lions for a long time. And the African buffalo knows how to defend itself against a pride of lions that are seeking to make a kill. It forms a defensive ring. It forms a defensive ring. However big the herd is will depend upon the size of the ring. And that ring will be staffed by the oldest and bravest and most experienced bulls of the herd. An African buffalo, when it lowers its head as part of this ring, It has a very formidable defence. It has sharp horns, and there's nothing really, once it lowers its head, that a lion can attack without running a great risk of injury to itself. A lion gored by one of these horns has no future. He will be cast out by the pride and possibly become a man-eater. So when lions are attacking and want to make a kill out of a herd of buffalo, they've got to know what to do. And of course they do, because they've been doing it for a long time. They need to break up the fellowship. And please, this is my point, because I think it's been hugely important to me over the years. And the older I get and the more dependent I become, the more important it becomes. Prayer, help, assistance are such wonderful things we get from the fellowship. And as long as this defensive fellowship exists, it will protect the young calves, the female buffalo, whose horns are much less formidable. They will be in the centre of the ring, being protected. And as long as that fellowship holds, as long as that fellowship continues to exist, the lions can do nothing. And they know this. But they're good at what they do try and do. And basically what they try and do is panic the defensive ring into breaking up and making a run for it. If they can only succeed in breaking up the defensive fellowship, panic the buffalo into making a run for it, they're halfway there. What they will then do, and they've been good at this for a very long time, is they will seek to isolate from the fleeing herd of buffalo a calf, a female, whatever. They would seek to cut out one of the fleeing buffalo from its fellowship. Should they succeed in doing that, there's only going to be one outcome. If the pride of lions can isolate calf, a female buffalo, there's only going to be one end to that story. The lions are going to feed well that night. And so I say all these things because I want to emphasize the enormous value of Christian fellowship. Please, 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 never imagine that we are so strong in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can do without the support of one another. We need that support so much. And as I say, as I get more and more dependent, I'm appreciating all the support that I'm getting. It's just a wonderful thing. So we come back to the triumphant, victorious Christ. Yes, Satan is a defeated foe, and yes, we need to oppose him with the power of the Holy Spirit and with the help of our brothers and sisters in fellowship. And if we do all things well, then we will share in the triumph of our Saviour. We will be one of the trophies of his glorious victory. He died to transfer us from the ownership of Satan the devil to the ownership of God, to transform us from being part of this world to being members of the family of God. And he has provided everything. All we need to do is recognize our need of salvation and come to him in prayer, trusting that on the cross he did it all. It's all about Jesus. We sang it. It's all about you, Jesus. He did everything that is needful for our salvation. All we have to do is receive it. So, let's receive it. If there's anyone here who has not yet fully understood that they can be eternally part of God's family, fellowship forever with him in heaven when they die, then would they please give their hearts to the Lord Jesus now? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. All Christ needs from us is a willing heart. He can do the rest by the power of his Holy Spirit. And what a wonderful hope to have as I grow older, to look forward, again we were singing hymns about it, to look forward to joining that chorus of praise, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb from a saved and full heart, actually being in the presence of our Saviour, and as importantly for me, being in the presence of those of my relatives and family who have gone before and who are ready with Jesus Christ in glory. That is the Christian hope. That is the Christian triumph. Christ triumphant, ever reigning. He said, speaking of his defeated foes, wrote to his victorious chariot, he said, all authority, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Sometimes Satan can make us try and think that living for Jesus is hard and difficult, but no, it's not. All we have to do is trust him. All authority flows from his throne unto his own. The hymns were very appropriate today. All authority flows from the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives. And we can, sinful though I know myself to be, I've been serving the Lord Jesus Christ now for very nearly 52 years. And all I can say is I have never, never regretted it for a moment. Amen.